Revitalizing General Aviation, Tort Reform, and Increasing New Pilot Starts. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're continuing today with a recap of comments shared by general aviation executives during 2009 on the topic of restoring the vitality of the GA sector. A few weeks ago, Cirrus Aircraft CEO Brent Wouters spoke with ANN News editor Tom Patton about an issue which nearly killed off U.S. production of general aviation aircraft back in 1983.
Product liability is something that we hadn't heard a great deal about in the last several years, and yet it's starting to become an issue again in the aviation industry. What kind of impact is it having on the way you run your business?
Well, I have always viewed product liability as an important issue. For the last 8 years now, it consumes a tremendous amount of my time and my effort. But let me quantify the impact that product liability has on our business. We spend enough on premiums each year that preclude us from hiring 250 additional engineers or 250 positions that would allow us to develop new products, to grow our business around the world. And so product liability has always been an issue for us, and it's growing in its size and its magnitude. Today, we need to be able to eliminate some of the product liability exposure so that we can grow our business and develop new products.
When you talk about those kinds of product liability issues, give us a couple of examples of things that you feel like you're not able to do outside the hiring of people that, if there was product liability reform, that you would be able to do with your company.
Well, for example, I quantified it as 250 jobs.
Right.
I could be investing that manpower into the Vision Jet, new products that will bring new products into new marketplaces that will grow the size of our business and lend themselves to additional growth on top of that. But by paying these product liability premiums, by spending so much of our resources fighting U.S. legal claims, obviously it's inhibiting our ability to grow, period, to develop new products, to enter new markets, and to expand the size of our business.
If somebody were to come to you and say, what would you want to do about product liability reform, what would you tell them?
Well, I think the key thing to remember is our business is certified by the FAA. Our product is certified for flight. Our production system is certified. Each and every airplane that comes off the production system goes through our quality system that is monitored by the FAA with six-month audits, detailed 18-month audits. And for that, we really don't get any credit. None of the FAA findings, the NTSB findings, are admissible in court when an accident happens. And all of those factors, understanding the tremendous quality system that our product adheres to and is signed off on, as well as all of the findings that the NTSB finds in the event of an accident, none of that's admissible to defend ourselves in the court of law in the U.S. And as a result, we spend much more money on the expenses for litigation. Litigation is much more protracted as you try to use experts and other mechanisms to build your case, and all the electronic documentation rules add tremendous cost to our business. So if we could get some sort of credit, if you will, for the certification that we go through, get credit for the quality system that each and every airplane goes through, get use of NTSB and FAA data to support our case in the court of law, I think that it would lower our costs overall, it would expedite lawsuits, and we would get to more favorable outcomes much sooner than we do today. And as a result, we would be able to plow more of our resources back into product development, back into revenue growth for the U.S. business and around the world.
You said that this is truly a U.S.-centric issue. How do they handle those things in Europe where you sell a lot of airplanes?
Well, we do. You know, we're in 51 countries around the world today. How do they handle those issues? They handle them in a much more structured fashion. First of all, you're not able to, you see very rarely litigation ensuing outside of the U.S., projecting the liability back on us as the manufacturer for what are predominantly pilot error that caused these accidents. You see very little litigation outside the U.S. All of our money really goes to defending ourselves on U.S. soil. So the U.S. litigation system and how it's developed over the course of time created an environment where it's much less favorable to do business in the U.S. than it is outside the U.S. And so we basically see no lawsuits outside the U.S., all of our lawsuits inside the U.S.
When we return, EAA's Tom Poberesny talks about the need to grow the pilot population. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approaches. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. We're highlighting some 2009 comments from GA leaders with a focus on how we revive general aviation. At AOPA Summit in Tampa, Experimental Aircraft Association Chairman and President Tom Poberesny said one key to restoring GA's vitality will be finding a way in for would-be pilots between 20 and 45 years of age.
That's critical. We need more pilots, we need more participants, we need more enthusiasts. And what I think about is the four P's of aviation. It's the planes that get us excited and draw us together. It's the people that give them life and vibrancy. It's the passion we feel for flying. And our role is how do we provide paths for participation? You know, we talk about engaging people to learn how to fly. But the fact is there's other ways to engage them in aviation as they start to develop a path to find the way to ultimately become a pilot, to own an airplane, to participate. When you think about it, we're an aging, dwindling pilot population. It's become a self-fulfilling prophecy because we depended upon the GI Bill and World War II to train tens of thousands of pilots. And we've never reached out like we should in terms of engaging the public in terms of participating in aviation, both individually and as a family. And that's an important role for EA, is looking to the future, not just with our youth programs, but to reach out specifically to that group of 20 to 40-year-olds. It's a big gap that they have enthusiasm for aviation when they're younger. They get a job, get married, go to school, family grows up, and all of a sudden it's 40 or 45 before they come back to aviation. So that's something we have to do to engage and show paths of participation, and I think on a collaborative basis.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.